All right. Hello again, and welcome to Comics Rule Everything Around Me, a podcast within a podcast about the wonderful world of comics and such. I'm Chris. I'm your host, your podcast pal. And with me today, as always, basically, is my good buddy, Matt.
Hey.
It's Matt again. And we are back this week to talk about not video games this time. This time we are here to talk about, to continue talking about Man of Steel, the Man of Steel, whatever the exact appropriate title is, by Brian Michael Bendis, the weekly Superman event that's going on right now. After we spoke about issue number one last week, this week we're going to catch up. Three just came out today, and we're going to talk about two and three today, and maybe some other comic stuff, maybe not. We'll see how it goes. We might get to some more of your Superman questions, which...
There's more questions.
We still have some Superman questions, including one from my mom that she has been very adamant about she needs answered. So we'll get to... Hey, you know what? Before we get any further into this, let's just ask... I'm going to answer this question for my mom.
Sure.
My mom asked... I can't find exactly where she asked it. I don't know if she asked it... I can't remember if she asked it on... I couldn't find it on Twitter. So she may have asked it... who knows where? Somewhere else. She may have just texted me the question. I can't remember. But Mom, I believe your question was about Superman needing a helmet in space.
To breathe?
To breathe.
Okay.
Because in some things, it's like in the comics, you don't see that.
Right.
Very often. But in Superman the Animated Series, he's got a whole space suit that he puts on when he goes into space. And the reason for that is because they wanted to sell more action figures.
I believe it.
That's why in the first season of Superman, you see him have a space suit. You see him have an underwater suit. You see him have a spaceship that he goes into space with instead of just flying out there. And all of that stuff was like trying to be as toyetic as possible.
Right.
So that they could make more action figures. And sure enough, as soon as those action figures launched, you got regular Superman. You got quick change Clark Kent into Superman.
So it wasn't just that the animated series Superman was made intentionally a little weaker. It was all about the toys.
1,000% we need more toys. We need more versions of Superman.
Did they drop that in Justice League, Justice League Unlimited? Can he go in space without a helmet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they also kind of like, they get away from it later on in the series, but it was definitely like a first season thing. Where he was, but to be fair, those costumes, those, you know, space uniforms, underwater uniforms, looked very cool.
They're fun.
They were very cool looking. The space one especially, I thought was like a really cool design. And of course, they've still got the S on them, great big.
Right.
Like Star Labs is making him underwater.
Yeah, that's what
outfits.
I remember. Yeah, Star Labs, Dr.
Hamilton.
Emil, yeah, was making those for him. Because I guess he needed to breathe or he needed to.
Yeah. So in the comics and in a lot of, you know, in other things, they would basically, but you know, like in Superman, the movie, got that famous scene where he's flying up in space towards the sunrise and smiling. Oh, what a great guy.
Does Superman need to breathe?
Yes. He requires, but the idea, like one
or
of the-
Or he just needs sunlight and that's all he needs.
Well, the idea is that like Superman could not breathe in space indefinitely. In the comics, they actually had a thing where it was like when in the Exiled storyline in like the late 80s, where Superman basically leaves Earth, feels like he has to leave, like he's done something that he needs to exile himself off into space for. He took a like a utility belt with a little breathing mask thing with
that.
A tube. And that was for because he was going to be going like extended deep space. Just getting out there into space.
So when he doesn't have that, is he just holding the one breath?
He's not holding his breath. The way that they have explained it previously, and I mean, and I'm sure there's been multiple explanations over the years, but the one that kind of stood out the most to me was the idea is that he can take a really deep breath, and because of the way his body works, it will, if he can take a really deep breath, and with the sunlight and whatever, it's basically like it fully oxygenates his blood. And it's not like he's having to hold it. If he just really takes a like intense breath,
then that'll last him for
the foreseeable future.
Yeah, until he can get somewhere where he can breathe again.
Yeah, but it's for long enough where it is not an issue really.
Yeah.
His blood just gets fully oxygenated, whereas normally we're having to breathe all the time to keep taking in oxygen for our lungs to put into our blood. However that works, I'm no doctor, but you know, but it's the that kind of thing where he can do it and just get all he needs in one big breath, and then go from there. But he's also not having to be like, okay, let's go.
He's got his cheeks puffed out as he's flying to the moon.
It's just very much a, oh, okay, I'm good now. But it's just like with the, you know, with the way he works, like a solar battery, is he can get run down over time. So there you go. I hope that answers your question, Mom. If that's not enough of an explanation, let me know. I'll try to get more in depth on it. I'll get that science of Superman.
Do a whole episode about how Superman breathes.
Yeah. I'll just read that chapter from the Science of Superman book. But I'm sure there have been other explanations where it's basically just like, no, he doesn't have to eat or breathe or any of that stuff. It's all just solar based, like a plant or something.
Yeah.
He gets it all from the sun.
Yeah. See, I had thought, and I think I just thought this. I don't know. It's not from reading anything, but that he does breathe and he does eat, but it's mostly the sun. And as long as he's got some good sunlight, he can last for whatever.
You know, there is that line in Superman the movie where she says, "Do you eat?" And he's like, "Only when I'm hungry," or you know, "When I'm hungry," or whatever he says. And it's like, that's such a great way to go with it. But of course, also, you know, like in a lot of the comic or in a lot of the versions of Superman, he basically grew up. He didn't just like grow up with his powers, like being Superman the whole time. So it's like he just lived a pretty normal.
That's true.
He had a pretty normal childhood life where he learned about things like eating and sleeping and, you know, like just lived like a normal person. And now he's a person who he doesn't have to, but it's like it's normal for him. So he likes eating, you know, he likes food. So it's like, why not?
Yeah. I mean, even if I didn't have to eat, eating's great.
I don't know. Sometimes I'm irritated by having to eat. I'm just like, could I not just get some kind of bar that gives me everything I need? I'm not a good cook, so I am.
Hey.
And I've also got like a weird schedule, so I'm not often presented with the best eating options as far as like what I could get out in the world, since I can't cook much for myself, which is shameful. I'm embarrassed about it. No one needs to shame me on, no one needs to make me feel worse about it. But it's hard. Like it's interesting and frustrating, like trying to cook things sometimes. And like, you know, sometimes I'll try to make stuff and like April will be making something similar. We're going like, oh, we're going to make this together. And then like hers will look great. And mine looks awful. And I'm like, I'm doing the same thing you're doing.
You guys bring it before the judges and they make you feel really bad.
Yeah. Then they're really, you know, every time I get voted off every time by the judges.
You have to sit and watch her eat hers, and you have to sit in the penalty box.
Yeah, I just sit in the bad cook boy box. But it's like, literally, I'm like, my hands are doing the same thing. Why does mine look awful and yours looks great? You know, why does yours look like food and mine looks like a monstrosity?
That's like the, was it the nailed it meme of foods?
That's how it feels sometimes. And I'm like, I know how to do things with my hands. Why can't I, when I try to do, when
maybe
I try to,
it's like the, you can't be good at everything. She'd be like, well, I can't draw like you can. Or not.
Yeah. She wouldn't say that though.
April's
good at art too. I mean, she's like,
man, she can do it all.
She can do it all. She does not do things the same way I do, but it's like, I think she's a very talented, it's the kind of thing where it's like, if she put more effort into it, I think she could be. But it's not her thing. You know, it's not what she's into. So she puts as much effort as she wants, which is not much. She's got other things she's worried about. But I was like, you know, sometimes we watch these cooking shows and I'm just going, that looks fun. That looks, or that looks good. I would like to eat that instead of garbage. But then when I try to make it, it looks awful.
Yeah.
And it's simple stuff too. And I'm like, why can't I do this better? Like, I see how they do it. Why are my hands not doing it the same way? Even though I can use my hands to do other fine motor skills. I guess it's just a practice thing.
I guess so.
You have to treat food preparation like it's its own kind of art. That's why they call them sandwich artists at Subway. So.
Oh, that's why.
So, anyway, let's get into these comics now. I have no idea how we got off on to talking about that, but... Yeah.
Superman doesn't eat anything in either. the Man of Steel 2 or 3 that I remember.
Huge plot hole. He doesn't
eat anything.
It's like Bendis isn't even wanting to talk about the real issues.
If he breathes, they don't make a big deal about it. But they're good issues.
All right, so Matt, give us the rundown on what happens in Man of Steel number 2.
Okay.
Spoilers, folks. Yeah,
the Man of Steel. Well,
and let's say now we're halfway through this thing. Would we still recommend, before we spoil stuff, would we still recommend people reading this?
Yes, I say yes.
Okay.
I think it's shaping up to be something good.
Okay. I think mine's a little more muted response than that, but I'm still like I can't complain. Well, I'll start to say I can't complain about the art.
We'll find a way.
I can't complain about the art because all of the art is just incredible. The only thing I would complain about is that I wish that there was, just cards on the table. I wish that the entire second issue was by Doc Shaner.
Right.
Steve Rude is great, but I really love Doc Shaner and I want to get to see more of him. And, things outside of his control led to him not being able to do it all, and that's a huge bummer, and that's all I'm saying.
It's just, right.
I would have loved to have gotten to see him do the whole thing. But, I mean, of course, like, Steve Rude's incredible. And if there, like I said to you previously, if there had been a different issue of this had been announced as all Steve Rude,
mm-hmm.
I would not have been upset about that at all. But it's just a bummer when you're finally getting to see this guy that you really like draw a big deal Superman thing.
Right.
And it's in continuity and it's like establishing basically the new continuity and then to have it be so short.
Yeah.
It just is a bummer. But, hopefully there's more great stuff from him to come in the future. So that would be my only complaint about the art is that I wish it could have been more of him.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I would still say that this is worth checking out. I'm still trying to see where it goes, but especially once we get into the third issue.
It really picks up. It's moving fast. It's
sort of. But I feel like, things are happening, but they're also, nothing is really happening. If that makes sense. We'll get into it more when we get to three. But I'm still seeing more of the stuff where I'm like, boy, you're sure still dragging out, just like you said, it's like dragging out this John and Lois thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel like they're just going to tease that the whole way.
We're never going to. And it's literally like the same two pages every time where it's like, why are y'all even wasting time? Where it's, the camera has been moved slightly and we get like one more second.
Which means Jason Fabok had to draw the whole thing again just from a different angle.
And again, like, and it's just, we just keep getting a little bit more. And it's like, what a wait. This is, that part, I will say, it just feels like you're jerking us around, making us wait to find out. Like, and having Superman be like, people are like, oh, I heard rumors about this, and him be like, nah, whatever, I gotta go. Is like, and he even comments on it being not.
He hates that he has to do that to him.
Yeah, but why does he have to do it? It's almost like there's no reason for him to do it other than they want us to not know yet.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't he talk to? Maybe they're gonna get into it.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe there's some good reason for it, but I doubt it.
Right. We talked last time about there's good comic book mysteries and bad comic book mysteries. There's some comic book mysteries that are interesting and intriguing, and as long as they don't get drug out too long, that's like, oh, that was interesting. And then sometimes they just don't work. And
two issues was too long, is as long as I wanted this to be.
Yeah, so if John and Lois aren't going to be around, please just rip off the Band-Aid. Go ahead and let us get used to that. Don't drag it out. And if it drags out beyond the six-issue miniseries, then, that's going to be super frustrating. But I feel like we already know it's going to be at least these six issues just from the solicitations. But, plot points on issue 2. We get a little bit more of Rogal Zar and his desire to destroy Krypton, and that you've got some characters talking about Krypton was destroyed and they're wondering if he's behind it and that kind of thing. You've got Metropolis. You've got a little bit at the Daily Planet, and then a big action sequence in California where Superman takes on a big robot that ends up being
Robot gorilla.
Yeah, big robot gorilla that ends up being Toy Man in the armor. That whole sequence is just the best part of the book. It shines real bright. Amazing. Doc Shaner art. Yeah, I wish the whole thing could have just been this. There's a lot of like fun little gags dropped into like little art stuff, nods in Toyman's little compartment here. And then Green Lantern pops in, which is a fun treat, having Hal in there, and they talk a little bit, and then it's exactly like you said. He can't really tell Hal what all's going on, and
because that would let the readers know.
Right. The latter half of the issue is the Steve Rudar. You've got Superman is upset. You've got some bar out in the Vegas system, which is just it's kind of a real wild sequence. I guess this here, that's Ambush Bug, right?
It certainly looks like him.
At least, is he a different? Is he an alien race? So it's maybe
I'm gonna have to admit my ignorance on really knowing. I recognize that Ambush Bug is a character, wacky character from the 80s.
And this looks like him.
It totally looks like him, but I have no idea if it's actually
him. There are other people that look like him. Yeah. And it's in this alien bar that Rogue Alzar finds out.
The restaurant at the end of the universe,
right,
basically.
Finds out that a Kryptonian survived the destruction of Krypton.
He sees that Superman necklace at the bar.
Yeah, and then you see Superman coming, and he's dealing with another arson, another...
They're sure dragging that out, too.
Yeah. So someone's setting fire to buildings in Metropolis, and that's an ongoing mystery. Which, I mean, it's not like a super compelling mystery, but yeah, it is ongoing.
And it's going to keep going. It's not going to get... Yeah. And then,
but I think they're really going to resolve it in Action Comics 1100. We're going to find out who this arsonist is.
1100? Oh, my gosh.
Oh... No, yeah, but who knows?
Yeah, well, and just to jump ahead a little bit, but not really, but the fact that then the next issue, this arson thing is still bugging him so much, so he brings Batman in to help with it, and it's like...
I feel like that was just a way to showcase
Batman. Yeah, no, yeah. It is, but it's like, it's some fires. We got to bring Batman in for this.
He doesn't have better stuff to do.
One, it's like, Superman can't handle this, and two... Which I know it's going to be that kind of thing where it's like, oh, we're going to show why Clark's important, because Clark is going to be he has to solve this as Clark, not as Superman. But that's not going to get solved in this. That's going to be on into the regular books.
Yeah.
But it's going to be the thing where it's like, oh, see, this shows why Clark is important, why he isn't just Superman all the time. Because sometimes Clark can do things that Superman can't. But it's like, oh boy, I don't know. I'm not trying to be sour on this. I want this to be good, and I want to like it.
It was so something that was kind of weird to me. And
let's focus on
just one at a time
for right
okay.
now.
Okay, yeah. So something that's weird to me. So you've got Rogue Alzar is at this, the bar at the end of the universe, and he sees this little Superman necklace. He recognizes the symbol from Krypton, but Superman has been at this thing for a while. Like he should have heard of him by now. He's known around, he's not just famous on Earth. He's like
he's
famous around
famous.
The galaxy. And yeah, how is he just like, has he been living under a rock?
Where has he been all this
how's
time?
How's he just now hearing that?
Also,
there's
why
a
is
Superman?
He all ugly now? You notice that he's like, this is not how he looked in the first issue.
No, I didn't notice that. So
he's like uglier now.
So somewhere in the
I assume
30,
that when Krypton gets blown up, they mentions at that part at the beginning where the two aliens from the Guardians of the Galaxy are talking about what happened. They say something about like they think that if he did cause it, maybe
he blew himself up in it kind of thing. And yeah, you're right. They wonder if he died in the explosion. So yeah, maybe he damaged himself.
But also, it's like, I mean, like, yeah, look at him.
Yeah, I want to look at him in issue one.
Issue
I didn't
one.
Remember him not being like that. But
he looked way more like just a not.
And definitely how Ryan Sook, is that how you pronounce it, draws him in issue three. You see a lot more of the.
He's Ryan Sook is an artist's artist.
He is
for
so
sure.
good. Yeah, you see a lot. You see like exposed muscle and on his arm, and yeah, you see his face is more eaten up.
I don't know. Also, like in issue two, though, then he goes from being this guy like he's basically just Lobo.
Like, they even have him on, like, a big space motorcycle at the end where he's going off to tearing off after Superman. Like, he sees the thing.
So, yeah, you're 100% right. In issue one, he's not all mangled and gnarled like that. He's still ugly,
yeah.
But half his face isn't blown off.
And rude.
His arm's not exposed.
Let's not look shame him. He just looks different. He's an alien.
He does have one
but
blue
like,
eye.
Look, I mean, you've literally got him like he's
on Lobo's motorcycle.
Like on a Lobo motorcycle. And it's like, this character does not seem like that kind of character to me. I don't know. Folks, I'm trying. I'm trying my best here. I don't know. I don't know how I feel. the stuff with the stuff prolonging this mystery, both of about Rogue Ulzar and about Lois and John and about the fires, it's all like it's just based around we have no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know. It feels like that's all it is. It's just like,
so maybe it feels a little thin. Like, if it didn't have that mystery, would the story still be
anything? Yeah, like, what... Everything about it is just like, oh, here's a bunch of stuff that you don't know what's going on. And that's, like, the hook to try to get you to keep reading is to find out what's going to happen with these things. Mm-hmm. And none of them feel especially compelling. I don't care that somebody else blew up Krypton. It blew up. That's the point. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I was saying when we were talking about that first one is, like, why are you bothering going back and changing something from... It's like, I just bugged the like bejesus out of me when when Geoff Johns did Flash Rebirth, and or whenever it was that... I think that's when he changed it. But maybe it was before that. But changed it to where Barry's origin changed to where it wasn't just that he became the Flash. It was that, oh, no, his mother had to have been killed. And it had to be like some kind of time travel speedster thing involved with it, and had to give him this tragic backstory.
Yeah.
It couldn't just be that he's like, and same deal with like, you know, that Hal's dad, he had to see his dad get blown up to want to become a pilot or what, you know, like.
Yeah, this thing I never thought like, of it that way. Yeah.
It's like stuff, the people's origins, with the exception of Batman,
mm-hmm.
are not really like the most interesting thing about them. Like, the Flash's origin used to just be that he was a police scientist who got some hit by lightning and some chemicals.
But there's nothing inherently tragic
now, yeah,
about
yeah, now he's fast. History. It's just like, that's cool.
So with his and mom dying, with his dad being falsely accused, all that is since Geoff Johns's Flash run?
Okay. Yeah, he introduced all of that. I don't know if it was specifically in Rebirth, but I think it was. I can't... It all kind of runs together. But it's like... Their origins don't really matter. It's like Superman, it's like I said, you know, in Action Comics number one, it's just like Superman's from this planet that blew up and then he lands.
I think it's a lot. So now you've got my brain reeling. So in DC, it seems like going back to Golden Silver Age, Batman had the uniquely tragic origin and the rest just had these fantastical sci-fi origins, but.
Yeah, you've got like tragic. Green Lantern, it's like an alien dies and gives him this ring and just told the ring, find somebody who's fearless, you know, who's brave, basically. And Hal was the closest person, that's and he was like, okay, I'll...
And then whereas modern DC has tried to weave in, Geoff Johns in particular and modern DC in general has tried to give them each tragic kind of motivations. Whereas if you flip over to Marvel, so many of them have tragic backstories and as just kind of, you know.
And that used to be, and it's like they're wanting to like retroactively give them Marvel origins.
Yeah.
But it's like, for the most part, even with the Marvel ones that had like kind of...
Well, like what's a real popular Marvel character that doesn't have a tragic origin? I was trying to think of the reverse.
As we sit quietly trying to think.
There's got to be one. Squirrel Girl.
Yep, there you go. That's the one and only one. I who knows? The mutants all
tragic. Yeah, mutants are very tragic.
Their lives all suck.
Spider-Man is the big obvious,
the quintessential one.
All the Avengers, Captain America, you know, had great hardship and tragedy. Iron Man, certainly. Hulk is just a walking
nightmare
tragedy figure. You know, even Ant-Man and the Wasp had maybe not in their origin tragic stuff going on. Maybe that might be the best.
Yeah, they were like a scientist and his girlfriend.
Yeah, his basically assistant turned girlfriend turned fashion, wife. and then their story would get tragic as it would go on, and he'd invent Ultron.
I don't even know if they may have tried to retcon that.
Yeah, maybe it's like, well, these guys are too happy. We got to do something about that. Anyway, so no, that's way derailed what we were talking about, but I'd not really thought about how...
I don't care why Krypton blew up. Yeah, it doesn't
so
matter.
Is that trying to do that with Superman?
It's like Daredevil.
I mean, well, it's not tragic enough that you lost your birth parents and your entire planet.
Your entire world.
You got to take it to another level.
Yeah, it's like, it was fine when it was just like he was, you know, Space Moses.
Yeah.
Basically, like, sent away. And they have no idea of knowing if he's going to make it.
But it was just an, you know... It's active nature, active guy. There's no one to blame specifically. Yeah. And now they're trying to say, well, there's someone personally responsible.
Great.
Makes it personal.
Yeah, right.
That's probably.
Can you guys hear me rolling my eyes? Like, it's so dumb. Like,
yeah.
That's not the point. It's like, that's not the point of Superman. And look, whatever. It's not like I think I'm smarter than Brian Michael Bendis. but the idea that made me laugh. I'm laughing at myself. You know, it's not like I think I'm better than him. It's not like I think I'm a better writer than him. But just as a reader, and as someone who has cared about Superman for my whole life, I feel like I... And also, I've heard lots of other way smarter people than me who have written really good Superman stuff talk about what they think is and isn't important.
Yeah.
And having just read tons of good and bad Superman stories, I do feel like I, at the very least, have a strong knowledge of like what feels important to me about his story. And his story is not, it doesn't matter where he came from. It's like the story is that he's like an orphaned immigrant who came here and tried to make a difference.
And now he embodies the best of that American spirit now.
He's like the American dream of like coming from escaping somewhere else and not only finding a better life for yourself, but then trying to make things better for your fellow man.
Yeah.
And showing that like America, which is another thing that is like such a bummer about sort of the world, some people in the world today, this thing of like wanting to keep people out of America. And it's like Superman is this perfect example of the American ideal where it's like, we welcome people in, and then by being welcoming and giving them like what America has to offer,
makes us all better.
Makes us all better. Then they improve, they in turn help their fellow man and improve the world. And it's like the idea of like trying to keep people out is such a bummer.
Yeah.
It's such like, that's not nearly a strong enough word for it, but it's like, you know, you're missing the point of what makes America great. What makes America great is that we take all these people and you're tired, you're poor, you're huddled masses.
Yeah.
The people who some would call not the best people from these other places, the worst from these other places. And you take them in and by the example of showing them compassion and love and accepting them when they needed to escape from somewhere else, you then help them reach for the American dream, which is to be better, to make a better life for yourself, for your children, and to improve the world, you know, to leave the...
Yeah, absolutely.
Leave things better than you found it. All of which is to say, so who cares why Krypton blew up? And then if you have it just be a thing where it's like, oh, now no, there's this one particular guy to blame.
I've got a face to punch.
Yeah, it's like...
And when we talked last time about how the animated series with Brainiac tied to Krypton, that made it more personal. His interactions with Brainiac were more personal because of that, and I feel like that was executed.
But they weren't
well.
Like they hated each other.
No.
And it wasn't like we said, Brainiac, and by all means, if you guys have not watched Superman the Animated Series, watch the premiere movie.
Yeah, it's the first three episodes.
It's the first three episodes called Last Son of Krypton. It's on Amazon Prime, if you have Amazon Prime. The entire series is on there, and definitely watch it because it's probably the best, like, extended take on Superman ever. Really does a good job of taking the good stuff from Superman's however many years it was at that point, you know, 50, 60 years at that point, and taking all of that stuff and then what's the word I'm looking for? I'm making like a gesture with my hand of sort of like funneling it all down.
Distilling it.
Thank you.
The quintessential.
Yeah, really getting the important stuff.
Bruce Timm and Paul Dini with Batman the Animated Series and then with Superman and then going on to Justice League. They figured out a way to distill the definitive aspects of these characters. And so for a lot of people, myself included, there's stuff from those animated series that are the definitive representation just by virtue of they're the best. It's not been done better in another medium. And so tying back to the Man of Steel, if he's trying to personalize, it's just weird. It's weird to try to tie him back to Krypton. And
it's like I said last time, it feels like it's moving backwards instead of forward. It's like, if you want to change Superman, bring something into it that isn't involving, oh, we've got to change everything you knew before is different now. Like, have some guy just show up. I mean, it's like Doomsday just showed up. I mean, I'm not saying do Doomsday again, but we didn't know anything about him. He just showed up and it changed everything.
Yeah.
You know, and they built, I mean, of course, he just showed up and they built him up over the course of, it's not like issue 74 of Superman was not just like business as usual. And then all of a sudden 75 drops and Doomsday's there and he kills
him.
You know, there was like a lot of buildup to it, but you didn't have to fundamentally change, Superman's. You didn't have to. I mean, even though then they end up.
Doomsday did end up being from Krypton, all that kind of stuff. But you did. That wasn't important from the death of Superman story.
Yeah, you don't need. It doesn't matter. And that kind of. I think we've talked about this, about the thing of where him just showing up and you don't know anything about him. Like,
yeah, I think we talked. If it wasn't the last time, it was the time before, about the diminishing returns of Doomsday. With each new appearance, it doesn't have the same weight to the point where he appears in Infinite Crisis and it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's just a page.
Oh, there he is.
And he flies off to go after Superboy Prime.
Yeah, like the but that idea of it, it's like it makes the, it's sort of like Doomsday just drops in like a force of nature. And it's like when someone you know that you love and care about just all of a sudden randomly gets killed in a car wreck, or, you know, a storm hits, like a tornado comes, and it's like, and it just has that air of like, it's even more tragic.
Because
you're like, I wasn't ready for that, you know? Just all of a sudden this thing shows up and there's no rhyme, reason to it.
I wonder if in the Man of Steel it's the case of it's one too many mysteries. Like, you've got the mystery of where's Lois and John and the mystery of the arsonist, which is okay.
Well, and they're still not, even though all of the press and everything leading up to this has been saying that Rogel Czar, oh, he's the one, it's like they're still trying to play it like it's a mystery of whether or not he actually did it. And like, even on, so the cover, we've got issues 2 and 3 sitting here.
He's crushing it with his bare hands.
He's crushing it with his bare hands.
Which I can't think that's literal.
But more.
He grows to an amazing size.
Yeah, if he can get this big, Superman is going to be in trouble. He is very big here.
He's going to need Batman's help.
Yeah, he's probably going to need, maybe even a third person. But the cover says, revealed! ! The maniac who killed Krypton.
That doesn't happen.
That nothing like that happens in the issue. So it's like, why bother putting text
covering up that good art?
Yeah, like, what's the? I saw that cover and I was like, wait, does it even say anything about that in the issue? And so I flipped back through it after, like, I read it last night.
Other than he is in the issue,
he's in it. But there's never anything. There is no reveal in this issue.
He says two syllables. He says Kandor.
He says Kandor.
And grunts, maybe, when he's breaking the robot.
He doesn't even like. Oh, wait, he says Og at one point when the robot shoots him, but then he's silent, destroying the robot.
What's the robot's name?
Kelex.
Are there lots of them, or is he just the one?
Kelex has always been like the main one.
Because it's pretty visceral the way he takes apart Kelex.
And Superman is.
He's upset about it.
Very upset about it.
Kind of like, seems like maybe he can't just rebuild him.
Yeah, he's like, I don't really know how to do this. This is all my dad's stuff. I don't really know.
It's kind of got, I wish my...
We're skipping to number 3.
Yeah, we're in issue 3 now.
All right, sorry. But yeah, back to what you were saying, which is maybe it's like one...
It's too many mysteries. They can't all be mysteries.
Yeah, and this is all it is. It's all just... This is all just seems like... I don't know. It's hard. That's the thing. It's like, so I was... I've been trying to think about it and trying to think about like why this feels... kind of less substantial to me. And I can't quite put my finger on it, but I was hoping as we talk about it, mm-hmm. that hopefully I can get to the bottom of it. But maybe we won't until we get to the end of it. But yeah. each issue has felt, even though it's like, it all just feels to me like some things happen, but nothing really happens. You know?
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's neat that Superman fights that robot and we see
But that
Toy
was
Man.
Just a fun little
Yeah, it's aside. Neat. It's neat seeing yeah. him snatch up those two bad guys and have that fun little dialogue, but it really doesn't add anything to the story.
No.
It's like, here's neat little things to show, like, oh, Brian Michael Bendis is going to run you through a who's who list of, like, oh, look, all these great Superman people are going to, all these Superman characters you know, mm-hmm. our takes on them are going to show up in this. So I don't know. Yeah. It's neat, but it's not really important. And then you're wasting pages with having these aliens talk about whether or not this guy did it. And they're arguing about, you know what this means. And it's like, well, if you're going to say that, I'm going to tell them this. And it's like, I don't care about these aliens.
yeah.
I care
yeah,
about Superman.
Way too much screen time to those guys.
I mean, and it's like, I get that he's trying to add a bunch of new supporting characters, but I would rather him show that he knows how to do stuff. Like, establish the people that we already know, mm-hmm. and then slowly add new characters into it. Don't come in going like, okay, we got this guy, we're adding this gossip reporter, we're adding this fire marshal or whatever her job
right.
is.
Yeah,
she's in charge of the firemen, the fire people, the fire patrol, what do you call the fire the fire department? I don't know. Look, I'm sorry, I'm trying
she's
to
head firefighter person.
Yeah, firefighter, I think was what I was looking for. But then you've also got the person who is...
Deputy Fire Chief Moore.
Okay. So she's Deputy Fire Chief. You've got the gossip reporter. You've got that new reporter who's just starting at the Daily Planet, who has also clearly got some kind of sinister
motive.
Some kind
of sinister... Something. She's maybe got telepathy or something.
She's got something going on that she has shown. And it's like all of... It's like... Can we focus on Superman for a minute? I don't care about any of these other people. I mean, maybe one of them. Introduce the fire person.
So that's another mystery. What's going on with this new person at the planet?
Yeah. It's nothing but mystery.
It's one too many mysteries. Or three too many mysteries.
Yeah, three too many mystery. Like, just one of these would have been fantastic.
Some element of the plot needs to be, not obvious isn't the right word, but it just needs to be what it is and exciting in its own
Give
merit.
Us something to put our feet on.
Yeah.
And then build from there. Well, all right, so real quick, we'll run through. I think we basically, you get the gist of what happened in two. And it's hard to not talk about these together since
right,
the stuff leads
right
into it.
They flow together.
So tell us what happens in three real quick.
So in issue three, you see Rogalzar. He shows up on Earth. He goes directly to the Fortress of Solitude, and he wrecks the place. He takes down the robot, rips him apart. He spots the bottle city of Kandor, and we later see that he smashes that. Cut back to Metropolis. There's another smoldering building. Superman's investigating. He's brought in Batman.
Seems like overkill.
Yeah, you get a couple fun lines from Batman and their interplay. But
and let me say, it's not that I dislike. I mean,
yeah,
it's fun.
But would Superman bring Batman in?
Yeah, it's fun, but it's also like it really is disrespectful to the police and the fire department. They can't handle this themselves.
So I'm picturing the between the panels scene of, you know, Clark calls Bruce and says, "Hey, I've had a few fires. There's been some buildings catch on fire, and I just cannot figure it out. Man, do you mind to get over here and look at this?"
And Batman's like, "Well, I'm kind of trying to plan a wedding.
Yeah,
I've kind of got a lot on my plate right now, but yeah, let me come help with your fires."
it makes for a fun, if you can suspend disbelief there, which again, it's all an exercise of that to some extent. And then Superman, I guess, gets called away. I did like the little line. So Superman just busts out of there so quick. And so Batman has the line of, if the politest man in the galaxy has to be somewhere so fast he can't say goodbye, it's probably for a good reason. That was good. That was a good
beautiful
bit.
Beautiful line. But it's like wasted in a scene that's like not really important. It's like,
yeah.
Like, so when Batman shows up, I didn't do the thing I did last time where I reread the old Man of Steel. But I think Batman shows up in the third issue of that, and they have their first interaction. And it's like all, it's way more in service of like, oh, there's a reason why he's here and like why they're having to interact. It's not just, and he's not just there for like a couple pages to be like, hey guys, it's Batman.
Yeah.
Nice seeing you.
Yeah. You know. Then so things, yeah, really kind of ratchet up at this point. He hears the alarm go off at the Fortress of Solitude. He flies back and it is absolutely wrecked. Everything's destroyed.
Which I hate.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it hurts. Like,
I hate this guy. I already don't like this guy. He's already a bad guy. You don't have to have him show up and ruin Superman's stuff.
So, yeah, Ryan Sook does an amazing job conveying the grief on Clark's face. And then, of course, yeah, with the dialogue, you've got, or the inner monologue, he talks about losing his heritage and all this destroyed. Supergirl shows up. Really like the Supergirl costume they've got for Kara. You know, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. Of course, yeah, they see Kandor has been destroyed, and they take off trying to follow a trail to find the guy.
Of some sort.
Again, just a one-page little tease flashback of this, what's going on with John and Lois and this mysterious figure that they're trying to show mysterious, but I feel like there's already been art online that it's Jor-El from the, what was that? Action Comics series.
Mr. Oz version of Jor-El.
Yeah, Mr. Oz, Jor-El. Like, we already know it's him from art that's been online. So, again, this again makes this whole thing being drug out feel so pointless. I have a theory. I feel like I've already shared that Jor-El's taken them to somewhere else. A pocket dimension somewhere. Like, I'm thinking he's going to show up and he's, in his way that he sees everything going on, he's foreseen a real traumatic, you know, a real bad situation's coming your way. It's not going to be safe for Lois and John. Let me take them away for a little while. It's sad because you like having them around because you love them, but it's going to be safer for them. And he's going to, what's the word? He's going to say yes, but not, you know.
He's not going to like it.
Yeah. And so yeah, he's bummed when people are asking about him. He's bummed. It's tough having to pretend, you know, why are they gone? But I think that's it. That Jor-El's probably going to take them somewhere safe for a time because this Rogue Alzar guy's coming and it's going to get real bad. But anyway, that's a little flash. You've got Superman tells Kara to go hide her loved ones, get them safe. You know, when she comes back later, she said that was on a long list. You know, they didn't have a lot of people to deal with. And then them zooming around the city until he gets attacked. And then it feels like the very beginnings of we're finally going to see Superman and Kara fight Rogue Alzar. The same thing we saw at the end of Action Comics 1000. That fight, it feels like, is what would happen right after Issue 3. So I don't know if Issue 4 is going to replay that with a different artist.
Probably. Just something else to waste our time.
Scene for scene. And
from slightly different camera angles.
Or if they're going to... I can't think of a good way for them to just...
Yeah, man, I sound so salty about this.
Assume you've already read it.
I really like to be positive about these things. But it's like, as we're talking about it, it is helping me like understand why some of this rubs me the wrong way. And it is that thing of, there's a bunch of pages in there wasted of him just flying around trying to find him. And then nothing actually happens. Mm-hmm. The only thing that really happens in this episode, in this issue, is that Rogue Alzar messes up the fortress.
Yeah.
That's the only thing of any consequence that actually happens.
Which is it's a big consequence.
Yeah.
Kandor's destroyed now.
But it's like, then you could lead in, that could directly lead into, why do you waste like several double page spreads of Superman just flying around going, oh, here's this and this. And
yeah.
It feels like we were saying, you know, last time talking about this could be four issues.
The decompression of it all.
It just feels stretching it down
to six issues. Again, yeah, ending on that confrontation with Rogue Alzar makes me really glad. The next issue is next week and not next month.
Yeah. If I knew anything about what was going on, if there was like anything for this to be building off of,
yeah,
then it would not feel that way. But it's all just like,
it's all mystery, so there's nowhere to plant
you in the dark,
like you said.
We're just keeping you in the dark to keep you in the dark. At any point in this, like, he could have immediately gone, like, yeah. The fact, this really, now by this third issue, is really bothering me with this flashback to wherever they are.
Yeah.
Where it's just, you see that same scene play out over and over. It's like,
they can't keep doing that for six issues.
It's like, you keep playing out over and over with just like a slight, it goes a little bit further each time.
Imagine hiring Jason Fabok for this job. He's an amazing artist, and you're going to have him draw, I want you to draw the same page over and over and over again for six issues. The same page, two pages, same sequence from different angles. Yeah,
this time the camera's going to be behind them so you can see what they're looking at instead of before.
Yeah.
But also, okay, let's say that is what it is. It's with Jor-El and it's not...
Yeah, I'm, I could definitely be wrong about that. That's just my bet. That's my theory.
But also, like, all of this stuff happens in this one, and then they never fight. They don't ever even get to the fight.
Yeah.
You could have had him show up, and then immediately, like, Superman tears off after him, and then this whole issue could have been a fight. And I'm not saying that a fight is, like, more substantive.
What are you going to do if the Man of Steel number 4 is just what we already saw in action played out with a different artist?
Yeah.
In Action 1000, I mean. That's what
I'm expecting.
Jim Lee sequence.
That's what I'm already prepared for.
It's just because he does that. He did that in his Marvel books. We'd see the same scene just done again with a different artist.
Yeah, but it'll be like we'll be seeing it from the stuff that happened before from the point of view of like those people in that diner.
Right, a slightly different point of view with different monologue going on. Different,
yeah, but Jimmy it's the same or from thing. Like Jimmy's point of view, or from no, not from Jimmy's point of view, from one of these new people's.
If
point
issue
of view.
4 ends with him getting stabbed. And that's just it, and it provides no new information.
Yeah. oh boy.
I'm being negative on an issue that's not even out yet. But yeah, it's hard to think. Like how
it's like when you start seeing the patterns.
Yeah.
And knowing how some of these things go, and then you go, oh, here's what's going to happen. It's like, hey, surprise me.
Yeah.
I will happily. I've said, I'm never. You know, I'm never upset to admit I was wrong about something if they pull something off and then it's great and I love it because I want to love these books.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going into these with a bad attitude. I'm coming into it wanting, I want nothing more than to love every Superman comic I read. But that's not how it works out sometimes. But it's like, I'm not saying that a fight is like more sort of like narratively substantive, but it's at least. If the majority of the issue had just been a fight and not this other stuff that doesn't really advance the plot,
right?
Or just maintain, it's treading water.
Yeah. If
we
if
don't get
the
any,
over the
Batman
whole plot,
shows up and we don't get any new information about it's just an excuse to have
just,
Batman
yeah,
there.
Fun little
yeah, which is fun. Like having him say that bit about Superman being the politest person in the galaxy and like yeah, that's great. But it's like the same deal with like why have Green Lantern show up? Other than just to have, like, oh, there's Green Lantern, mm-hmm. and then to have him go, sorry, I gotta go.
Just to, yeah, to interact with some of his peers and then
you know, there's
to
probably gonna
he's
be
off.
There's probably Wonder Woman's gonna show up at some point. I'm sure the rest of the Justice League's gonna show up at some point to help fight Rogelzar. And it's all gonna be pointless, though. Like, it's all just gonna keep treading.
Yeah, so if the plot of Man of Steel, I mean, we don't know the plot of Man of Steel, it's a mystery, it's mysteries, plural.
Yeah.
But if it is just bringing Superman and Rogelzar together for a conflict, then we're 3 issues in, and that conflict's only just about to begin. And yeah, like you said, that's the halfway point. And maybe they, with issue 4, really invert expectations and flip things, and we start getting some answers. But if we don't, it's gonna be more painful to wade through.
It's all just still waiting to find out, and like we get to 6, and it's like, be sure to check out Action Comics 1001 and Superman number 1.
Which those, I noticed in the advertisements, those are going to be monthly now. They're not doing the bi-monthly, for better or worse. It's so you're still getting 2 Superman books a month, but instead of 4, because they were double shipping.
I'm making a, face. So, that's kind of disappointing. Especially now we're getting so much less Superman a month, and it's all by Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah.
Great.
But yeah, so... What did you like about the Man of Steel 2 and 3?
The art.
Yeah.
I liked some of the fun bits. And that's the thing. I'm not like saying the fun bits are not... I'm not saying they're not fun. They're objectively fun.
Mm-hmm.
But they're kind of pointless for a thing that's like... You're dangling all these mysteries in front of us and then giving us these little things where it's like, we're starving to death. We haven't had anything to eat. And you're like going, oh, hey, do you want some Skittles?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, Skittles are great and I'm starving. But it's like, I need some nutrition.
Right.
I need some nutrients in my body.
Yeah, yeah. Like, ideally, there would be
this
some
all,
big reveal
this
each
is all
issue
just
to
cotton
move
candy.
That mystery forward. Yeah.
It's all fluffernutter. It's, you know, it's like, it's kind of cool, and it looks incredible. But it's like, what really happens in these issues?
Yeah.
Not much. Even though stuff is happening, it's not, there's no meat.
Yeah. The mystery... is not what destroyed the Fortress of Solitude. The mystery is like, who is this guy and what? So, the big things that are happening are not...
The real mystery is, why am I supposed to care?
Yeah.
And you've not given me any reason to care so far. You've done, like, right now, it's, man, I'm getting a little too salty now. That's maybe too far. But the only thing you've given me to care about is that he came in and wrecked Superman's place and all his tiny friends.
So were you able to empathize with that? Did that hit you emotionally, or were you just mad that it happened?
I was just mad, because okay. It's like, we already have a reason to dislike this guy. And then having him come in and just, like, have this, like, it's just crappy.
Yeah.
Like, there's no need. If you hate Superman so much, just go straight for Superman. Like, why? This guy does not seem like a... There's other villains where I would go, yeah, they would want to mess with you first. This guy is just like, I want to blow up the planet.
Well, his only stated objective is to wipe out all Kryptonians. So, in
why
fairness
bother
to that,
wrecking his house?
The majority of the Kryptonians are in the Fortress of Solitude, shrunk in a tiny little bottle. So he got most of them, and then there's just the two left. And Krypton.
Like, you're not going to go for them first? Like, why does he show up there first? This comic's dumb. Brian Michael Bendis is dumb. No, I'm just playing. So yeah, that's where I'm feeling right now.
I think I felt a little bit more invested as reading it.
Well, I hope I've changed that.
Yeah, the art is just amazing.
Oh yeah, no question.
Like Ryan Sook, like just an amazing issue. And then yeah, we've had teased out Rogalzar, but seeing him make Earth fall, doing stuff, wrecking stuff, and that like it, I felt like yeah, some it was. I guess, edge of the seat might be like too much, but I was invested. I was interesting. I'm like, okay, stuff's happening now. Action's picking up. How's Superman going to react to this? I really liked bringing in Supergirl, and then it wasn't until the end of the issue that I realized, oh, they're leading all the way up to what we saw in Action 1000. But then I was like, okay, well, now what?
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see.
They're probably still not even going to fight in the next one. 5 is going to be the retelling of Action 1000. Yeah. This next one is going to be all just in that diner before Superman and Supergirl aren't even in the issue.
Yeah.
It's going to introduce several more new regular cast members that are going to be very important.
Yeah, we're going to find out, will the Daily Planet get sold to another corporation?
Oh, yeah. We've got that mystery. Whether or not that...
Is print dead?
Oh, yeah. Lord. This has bummed me out. But it's been fun talking about it with you.
I think I liked it better than you did this time around.
Yeah. Well, and also, it's like I've gotten... my feelings on it have gotten lessened. You know, my opinion of it is lowered the more we've talked about it. Like, it's more made me think about, like, you know, that really did bother me. You know, that kind of thing. So, I still think people should... I'm like, yeah, still check it out.
Won't know until issue 6 if it is a complete... story, or if it's like we suspect, just a tease,
which really would suck if it's not like its own kind of. This really should be its own complete story, because this is the kind of thing where then this could be a perennial Superman seller, like in trade.
Yeah,
like it could just sell for forever. You could give it to people, and so far they have not done that at all.
Was it 6 issues at $4 a piece?
Superman's
$24. $24 for a tease is kind of.
You really don't get any kind of. You barely are getting any insight. It's really taking for granted that you already know Superman.
Mm-hmm. Which is that makes it really different from the
Man of Steel.
Man of Steel. Because it's not that. It's not setting up Superman. It's setting up what's going to be the mysteries and plot points for Bendis' Superman run.
With such a talented crew on this, this should be a thing that... And maybe it will. Maybe it's not all just a 6-issue commercial for... the things that are after this,
right.
With no endings ever.
But they've not left themselves a lot of time to give a satisfying conclusion.
And it's like, it doesn't feel like... we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see next week where we're at with it next week. But yeah, it's... This is just the kind of thing... If this is not like its own good, complete, in and of itself story, this is a huge missed opportunity. If it's just a 6-issue commercial for the regular series,
right?
Then it's like you have missed out on something that could be like your Superman thing that always
your
sells.
Modern day the Man of Steel, yeah. Which I guess,
and I'm not
Jeff
saying
Johns
you have to completely
did the Secret Identity 6-issue, 5 or 6-issue miniseries a while back that I think was wanting to maybe be that.
Yeah,
new...
but I don't think it. I did not care for
you.
That.
Didn't really like that.
It was okay.
I thought it was okay.
It was, yeah. I mean, but it. if you're going to do something like that, it needs to be better than just okay. Mm-hmm. It needs to like really, you know, knock it out of the park.
The thing is, it played it too safe, which is definitely not what Mendes is doing. yeah. So maybe it's the pendulum swinging the other way.
You know, it's been, because I was so unimpressed with it, I haven't reread it in quite a while. So I would need to go, maybe before next week, I'll go back and reread. I'll read the like the first three issues of that or something and see how it compares. Maybe I'll do that with the Byrne ones again too. I kind of wish that Birthright was six issues also instead of 12.
Right? Or 10. Yeah,
it's 12. Just so then we could really directly compare them. But anyway, all right. Let's answer some Twitter questions real quick. At Elusive Pale Jerk asks. asks, can you rank the live-action Superman? Actually, he says, can you rank the live-action Supermans? Which is a much better way to ask that, a much funnier way to ask that. Sure.
How many, what are our Twitter?
All right, so our, oh boy, wait, now.
I don't want to leave anybody out. So you've got, obviously.
You've got Kirk Allen, who's the first one, from the movie shorts or whatever from the 40s. Then you've got George Reeves.
From the TV, black and white TV show.
Yeah, from The Adventures of Superman. Then you've got, I don't know what that guy on Broadway's name was. Let's skip him.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's some, you want to just do, you want to just do Christopher Reeve.
We'll do Christopher Reeve.
Henry Cavill and Brandon Ralph.
Christopher Reeve.
And Tom Dean Welling. Cain. Oh, Dean Cain?
Tom Welling.
Five. You've got Brandon Ralph. That, the guy that plays him on Supergirl.
Yeah, Brandon Ralph, Henry Cavill. And then Tyler Hoechlin, I think, is his name.
We're saying just live action, so not 10 days.
Well, that's what they asked for.
Yeah.
He said live action.
Okay.
So we've got, is this eight? Is that right? Kirk Allen, George Reeves, Christopher Reeve, Dean Cain.
Tom Welling,
Brandon Routh.
Henry Cavill,
and the guy on Supergirl. Yeah, so we've got eight. All right. Let's start at the bottom.
I don't even feel like I could rank the guys before
the two black
Reeve.
And white guys.
Yeah, I don't have any.
All right, let's drop the.
Let's just drop them. The color live action color Superman.
Okay, so then we've got.
They can be honorable mentions for being pioneers and firsts.
Yeah, for being in black and white. So then we've got Christopher Reeve, Dean Cain, Tom Welling, Brandon Routh, Henry Cavill, and the guy on Supergirl.
So you say you want to go worst first?
Yeah.
And honestly, I think that's saying something that none of them are just awful, like completely, completely bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
But who would you say is the worst of those?
Tom Welling.
Okay.
And I say Tom Welling because he's never Superman in that show.
This isn't necessarily his fault, but yeah.
10 seasons of the show and he's never Superman until the very last episode. And even on the very last episode, he refused to actually put the Superman costume on.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He made, it's like they had.
So I said it's not his fault, but maybe it is a little bit his fault. Because at that point, by season 10, he's also producer and directing episodes and stuff. So he has a lot more creative control.
Yeah. He refused to actually put the suit on.
I wonder why.
Because he does not strike me as a cool guy.
Oh, okay.
from what I've, some of the stuff I've heard about him.
Maybe ignorance is bliss, because I only knew just the show, and I thought he was kind of cool on the show.
Oh, certainly when it started, I was like, but it just went for so long, and he was just always so dead against ever having to put that costume on.
See, I just thought it was, the producers that had made the rule. I didn't know he was against it.
He was like, I don't know if it's like he takes himself too seriously, but it's like, hey, you've been on Smallville for 10 years. Like, let's pump the brakes on it. What? But like, literally, when they have him show up as Superman in the last episode, you always see him either from like a distance or like you just kind of barely see him. And like there's one sort of shot of him as Superman, like up in space, and it's CGI. And then like they had to like digitally put the S on his shirt when he does the.
He wasn't even wearing a Superman shirt?
Nope.
What in the world?
Yeah.
So I've not seen that episode since it came out. So it's been a while.
But it's been burned into my brain. How
why would he not actually have a Superman shirt?
It's also interesting that they, because of when that was happening, was around the same time as Superman Returns. Like, the Superman costume that they used for that was the Superman Returns costume.
So you think maybe they did it so that they could make it look like that? Like, they didn't want to stick to a certain... I don't know.
I think that's just they were like,
Tom, what show did you think you were making?
But also, I mean, it's like he was on there well past when he wanted to be on there. Like yeah. the show had kept going, and they just
yeah. This is not answering the question that the pale guy asked, but this is going yeah. That
this
show,
is way more interesting.
That show went on way too long. They didn't. Well, it 10 went seasons, on way too. You had probably 4 seasons of quality content.
It went on way too long for him to not become Superman because right. they had to keep going, and the only way they could keep people interested was to keep introducing stuff from the comics. Because the casual viewers had already dropped off by like season
right,
5 or something.
Right.
You know?
So they've got Doomsday, they've got Zod, they've got all this stuff, and he's not even Superman.
He's not Superman yet, and he's already fought
red,
Doomsday.
Blue, blur.
Yeah, he's fought Doomsday. He's met the Justice Society. He's met there's Martian Manhunter, Supergirl, Superboy. Like
yeah, that's too much.
Everything else has already happened. There's literally Dr. Fate and Stargirl show up, but there's still no Superman. And you're still trying to act like all these people because they even have a part where like the Legion comes back.
The Legion's in it. Yeah.
They come back and they're like,
which
we were so
a pretty good episode.
Yeah. They were like, we were so inspired by you or whatever though. And it's like, this guy refuses to be Superman. And it's like, he's already been around so long as the red, blue blur or the blur or, you know what? It's like,
that's what he is. That's,
yeah. People wouldn't care. People wouldn't go like, oh, what?
We got to start calling you this now?
No, you're just the blur, which is like such a dumb. Oh boy.
It's dumb. So if you've not seen Smallville, in any given season of Smallville, there may be 2, 3, 4 max really good episodes. And then a lot of filler, a lot of yeah. dumb stuff. So you could condense that whole 10 seasons to maybe 3 or 4 good seasons. The show just went too long. So,
I think you could maybe condense it to 1 good season.
Okay. Well, yeah, sure.
Because even some of those good episodes are like, who cares? It's like, he's still not Superman. Yeah. Why am I watching this? Once he's out of high school, it's like, why am I watching this? Why is he not Superman yet? And the way they would always like tease it and you'd get so close and they're like, yes, he's finally going to do it. There's the suit. And then he doesn't put it on.
10 years.
And there was, oh man, in that last season, there was so much stuff. There was like behind the scenes stuff going on. I remember like when this was happening at the time. It's like, because it was like 10 years ago now or something, but it's yeah. like, it's fuzzy now. But at the time, I remember there was like all this behind the scenes stuff about how like they were trying to do something and like where they were going to move it way more into like, oh, he's basically just going to be Superman now. And then like something happened. And then all of a sudden they had to like hit the brakes and way backtrack on that for like half the season or ugh. Something. It was just a bunch of stuff where it was like, yeah.
I feel like Warner Brothers has maybe learned their lesson on that. Because looking at stuff like The Flash and this and Supergirl, I
don't think they learned that lesson from Smallville at all. I think they learned from Arrow, which took 5 seasons for him to become Green Arrow.
Yeah. But no, I more mean, so I remember reading the people that put together the Flash TV show, they didn't know they'd get more than 1 season. So they said, well, we're going to do the opposite. We're not going to tease stuff out. We're going to cram as much stuff in as we can. And it made the show really fun. Like you get to see all the exciting stuff. You don't have to wait 10 years before you
for him
see.
To become for him to put the Flash out.
Yeah, he's yeah. Flash from the pilot. He's doing cool stuff from the beginning and it builds. You've got yeah, they're throwing it all in there. So,
did you ever see that old Flash show? The one from
again,
the 90s.
I saw it in the 90s okay. and not since. So, I remember nothing about it other than it being was it kind of spooky? Like that's
no,
how child me remembered
dark.
It. Dark. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like,
it wasn't like scary, but it was dark like the Tim Burton Batman
that's,
was.
So child me remembered it like that, like spooky, dark, Tim Burton-y, and that was Eternal.
I wouldn't say it was Tim Burton-y in that it wasn't like gothic dark, but it was definitely like, you know, taking place at night and,
yeah.
you know, it's not like, but I think that show is, well, I say that. I shouldn't get too far ahead of myself to say that I think that show holds up, but I remember really thinking that show did a great job for like a that time period for like a TV show budget.
Sure.
And like really making the Flash seem like, oh, that's cool. He's fast. He's really fast. Like you really get yeah. the idea. It's like it really, they'd figured out, they did some good tricks on the anyway.
Well, the modern CW Flash is definitely my favorite of the CW superhero shows. And so I hope that answers your question there, pale,
pale guy?
Person.
Elusive pale jerk. No, so I would put Tom Welling last.
Okay.
Then I would put, oh boy. Then I would put Dean Cain.
Okay. So the TV guys are at the bottom.
Because even though he played it for quite a while, you know, again, it was...
They didn't have the special effects to go full on Superman show. So it was called Lois and Clark, and it was focused on Lois and Clark.
But it was like, also, I was just, I don't know. He's got some good stuff too. Maybe I would need to revisit that. But it was also like, I felt like a lot of that show was just like, it was a lot of treading water because we don't have special effects budget.
Yeah.
Maybe I would this is all off the top of my head. I would readjust this if I had time to like go through and really restudy some of the, Tom Welling would still probably be at the bottom, but yeah, then Dean Cain also, but it's one of those things too, where I'm like, Dean Cain now seems like I can't separate the person
a
little bit.
He's kind of a wild character.
Yeah.
Of a person.
Seems kind of like a D-bag. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm just, this is kind of the impression I get. Then I would, who's left? Wait, who am I missing? Oh, I keep forgetting Henry Cavill. He's like not even entering my mind as Superman. I just keep seeing all the other people. Even the guy from Supergirl, I'm seeing him and forgetting about the guy who's just been in 3 movies as Superman.
So you'd put the Supergirl, Superman somewhere in the middle? And then save the movie guys for the top 3?
I might go...
Or do you think, is he better?
Henry Cavill. Okay, so Henry Cavill's problem is not Henry Cavill.
Yes.
Henry Cavill's problem, he could be a great Superman. The problem is, you know, the movies he's in. But so, I mean,
so how much judge him just on the third act of Justice League.
Well, if you do that, he's pretty high up on the list. If you pretend like he's been that version of Superman for all of the movies, then I go, well then. But, he's been Superman for so precious little of what we've seen of him.
So many movies.
Yeah. So I'm like, how much can I really grant him? But then you go, well, Brandon Routh was only in 1 movie. And some people would say he was a really weird version of Superman for that.
And he was just doing Christopher Reeve, though.
Yeah. But even then, he's not like... It also feels to me like he's not in that movie that much. So I would maybe do like Henry Cavill... Then Brandon Routh, and then the guy from Supergirl, and then Christopher Reeve.
Okay.
The guy from Supergirl, like...
He's good.
He nails what they get. They get Superman.
Mm-hmm.
They do a great take on Superman, and he nails it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think he looks very much like Superman to me.
No.
Like, I don't like the costume.
Yeah.
It's not awful, but I don't... It's not...
Henry Cavill... Maybe has the greatest chance for upward mobility on that list.
Yes.
If they continue a trend of making better.
If they make Man of Steel 2 and...
it feels more like that third act of Justice League.
And it feels like real Superman. They get somebody that knows what they're doing, cares, likes Superman. Because it's obvious that Zack Snyder does not care for Superman. It doesn't seem like he likes much at all. Besides Beatles covers. I'm not going to slag on Zack Snyder. Yeah, that's probably how I would run it. Let's see. All right. Ay, ay, ay. This is quite a question, so here we go. At Levi Gribben asks, worst version of Superman? I'm leaving this open for interpretation, but could be worst alternate Superman, worst written, or a Superman who betrays whatever the essential essence of him is. Worst is subjective. There are multiple Supermen running around like the 90s now too? ? I'm not sure I understand that last part, but...
I wonder if he means... I mean, maybe before they fused the new 52 Superman and Classic, you've got the new Superman, Chinese Superman.
This is tough. This is a tough one.
I was just thinking, like, there's also in my thinking, there's a difference between... Well, he was talking about, like, a betrayal of everything the character stands for, and then just, like, the worst, like, not executed well, just not fun, not just, because... Like the Superman from the Injustice video games is definitely, and not that we've never seen that kind of Superman before. We saw him in the Justice Lords on the animated series, which again is almost just an echo of the Crime Syndicate Earth 3 Superman. So we've seen an opposite Superman, but yeah, the idea that our regular Superman. Real Superman could at the drop if a tragic enough situation happened could become that Superman. That's like Man, and again, Injustice is written well. It's exciting, but that feels like the biggest betrayal of the character. But it's executed well, so I don't know that that makes it the worst. The worst, I think, is like...
Though, I got to say, man, in Injustice, and I was like, I was so ready to... I wanted to hate that game. Because I was like, I hate the idea where it's like, oh, Superman. Anytime they do something where it's like... It seems like such a... Like a childish idea to go like, oh, but Superman's going to be the bad guy in this one. And you got to be... He turns into a blah, blah, blah. That's like... If you haven't played it, you should... Or just watch the movie of it on YouTube where people have just put together all the cutscenes.
Yeah.
That's
great,
too.
Like,
but in that game, when air quote in, when real Superman shows up, and it doesn't play that Superman music. I've said this before, though. It doesn't play that Superman music. But it's like when he shows up, the first time I was playing that, it's like I 100% heard that music just blaring. And it's like when he shows up to, you know... It's just like, I was up off the couch, like, so excited.
Yeah.
Just like, yay, Superman's here. So it's like, that makes it, like, that having that bad guy version, I ended up loving that game and the story.
Because by contrast, it made the good parts.
Yeah, it makes you, and it's like, it makes you go like, oh, I sure appreciate real Superman.
Yeah.
So
that's definitely, I think that may be the biggest betrayal of what the character is about, but that's not the worst version because it was done well.
I think any Superman written by J. Michael Straczynski is probably the worst. Between that grounded arc, which was just like a mess.
Boring and...
Boring and a mess, and like, another, and that's a guy who like, who's done other stuff that I love. It's so weird how like, it's just crazy to think about when there's these writers you really like...
That are hit and miss.
Yeah, that. Well, and it's like that. Basically, nobody's immune from it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and that some people can just like be so good at one character and then like so fundamentally misunderstand another character. Mm-hmm. But then that also makes me kind of question, like, who's in charge? That doesn't read this and go like, you're kind of.
Let's go workshop this a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, like what? Why let them do this to your characters? You know, you don't see.
Is there a certain level of fame, like you rise to a certain level where editors stop telling you this is a bad story idea. This is not like that your name is.
Or does it, or is it the kind of thing where it's like, it's a great idea and then just somehow it doesn't come across in the execution.
Yeah.
It's the creative process is strange.
But then it's a periodical that needs to come out. So we can't just take it all back to formula.
Yeah.
We can't go.
You can't just like, you know, put everything on hold until you figure out the problem.
Yeah.
And you've got like a bunch of other things going on. Comics especially are like, I feel like the comic model is bad for comics.
Yeah.
It's like, I think that for the quality of comics, I think that comics would be a lot better in general, quality wise, like story and art and, you know, everything if they weren't like chained to this monthly structure.
Yeah. And it's so... I know not everyone reads comics the way I do. I get so far behind that it did not need to have come out weekly or monthly or bi-monthly. By the time I'm reading it, it's almost all out if it's not completely finished. And I'm thinking, like, if it just came out that way.
There's so much filler in comics between, like, the big famous stories you really remember that are just... There's so many stories that are just there with these characters that have been around for forever... Where it's just like, yeah, we're kind of killing time until the next event. Or like we've got like a 3-month stretch where we've got a fill-in writer while we're waiting for the next guy to take over. And it's like, that's just kind of a bummer too, where it's like, I mean, I guess people's lives have lots of ups and downs in real life. So you go, well, even though I've done some interesting stuff, every day is not super interesting.
Yeah.
But I'm like... Do I want that from comics?
Yeah, for fiction, storytelling, and entertainment. So, yeah, that's...
But nice. Also, especially, to go back to J. Michael Straczynski, those Earth One...
I didn't even read those. I hated Grounded so much, and I think the things he did after it that I've not really read.
It's like, so, oh my gosh. The first Earth One Superman, and they did like 3 of them. The first one of those is like worth reading for how bad it is.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's like, it's one of those things where it's like, get it from the library or something and just go like, I don't know. Just go like, oh, it could be this all the time.
I've not read any of the Earth One graphic novels.
Well, they've done
Batman with Jeff
Gary
Jones,
Frank,
and then Grant Morrison did a Wonder Woman one. I've just not read it.
And he's got a second one coming out.
The Dodsons did a Teen Titans that I've not read.
With, I think, Jeff Lemire was the writer on it.
Sounds right.
They just put that Green Lantern one.
That one's the one
out.
That's most interested me.
The Green Lantern one?
Yeah, I listened to an interview with them, and it sounded really, really interesting. So I may actually end up reading that one. But yeah, I'm not.
Let's check that out. I'm kind of interested to read all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, the Grant Morrison one is... I'm excited for anything Grant Morrison does. But I don't know. Maybe it's like... What if he doesn't, even though he's been so good at everything, yeah. You know, like so many other things, he's done literally some of my favorite comics of all time. And then like, what if he gets to this one character and just is like, whoa.
Does not have a good take. Yeah. Who knows?
It's like, oh, this bicycle's pretty wobbly.
So as far as worst versions of Superman.
The first thing that immediately comes to my mind is like, I mean, we could talk about this all day, but it's like literally the first thing that jumps to my mind is that Earth One version.
Yeah,
I see that cover or those, the covers, but especially like. I just see that and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
I feel physically grossed out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and so yeah, so him being portrayed badly, and then also I think the worst thing he can do is be boring. So boring stories is not good, Superman.
Yeah, there's like, yeah, worst really is, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of worst. And we could do like a whole episode probably, do some research and really do, or also you could say like, oh, the Nintendo 64 Superman is the worst.
That's the worst.
It's very bad. You know, there's lots of ways to go with that. I was certainly not a fan of like the way that the new 52 Superman was introduced in Justice League, where he's just like, he's kind of a bro.
Yeah.
He definitely doesn't seem like he's just your friend. He seems like a dude who's like. Just seems like a bro dude who's I would not see him and immediately feel at ease.
No.
I wouldn't be like, oh, everything's gonna be okay. I'd see him and go like, what's about to happen?
Yeah.
Something bad is about to happen. Something's gonna blow up. And like the version of Superman in Batman versus Superman is such a bummer.
Yeah, that one's pretty bad.
And it just sucks though, because it's like he's so close. There's like why did DC let Zack Snyder do all that? Why didn't they get... Anyway. So, I hope that answers your question. I think that we've still got some Superman questions we could get to, but we'll save those for the next one. And if you guys have got any more Superman questions, definitely tweet those at us at KICTM Podcast on Twitter. Obviously, I sort of say, you know, say that it's a Superman question, but I was like, we'll probably get that it's a Superman question. But thank you guys for listening. Overall, I don't know. I'd maybe give my opinion on this Man of Steel has kind of dropped now, maybe to like a just overall where I'm at with it now. Keep judging it on the whole of these three issues. I've probably gone down from like a 3.5 to maybe a 3 or maybe even like a 2.5.
Out of 10? 5?
out of 100.
Wow.
Out of 5.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm a little more positive on it. I mean, not much. I mean, you've heard me say that, again, juggling all those mysteries is
not my
forte.
If this was like, oh, man, I can't wait till that new Fantastic Four number one comes out. And if it's like this, I'm just watching then you squirm about it.
And I am. I'm concerned because because of Dan Slott, who, a lot like Bendis, has written great stories that I love and then has written pretty dull stories. So what's it going to be?
Yeah. What's it going to be? So, Matt, anything you want to close with? Anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
You know, I'm glad it's only a week to the next one to see. So it's not waiting a month to see, man, what are they going to do with this? But, yeah.
All right. Follow Matt on Twitter at @XAMattDrain. The link to follow him and all this other stuff I'm going to say is in the show notes. So please check that out at keepitclosetome.com. Thank you to everyone who retweets the show when we talk about a new episode is out, or who follow us or say nice things, any of that stuff. It's super appreciated, and it's great when you do that stuff. So thank you so much. You can follow the show, like I said, at KICTM Podcast. You can follow me at The Chris Haley. And of course, there is the Patreon, patreon.com/TheChrisHaley. Get episodes early and other stuff. All fun and good. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time for more Comics Rule Everything Around Me, and continue, hopefully, being in a better mood by next week about Superman. And I'll just leave you with this.
Oh no, I was recording all this.
Are you doing this live?
Yeah, this is live.
Radio.
Yes. Oh.